Welcome back to the show. Todd Zwillick with you. For 2 years now, the civil war in Syria has been dragging on. And until recently, the strides that the opposition had been making against President Bashar al-Assad were sporadic, but strong enough to keep some forward momentum in that war. Recently, Assad has won some key strategic victories, however. The Syrian president now says the country intends to participate in peace talks at the United Nations in the coming weeks. But in a televised interview yesterday, Assad hinted that he has sophisticated new Russian weapon systems and that with the help of Hezbollah fighters and his Russian and Iranian allies, his regime would prevail in the civil war that is underway there. Listen to Assad through a translator.
We had, of course, the people who supported the militants in some areas, not because they don't have nationalism, but because they didn't know the true nature of these armed groups. This changed. There is no longer that popular support, and many of the militants or the armed men withdrew from some terrorist groups.
Some defiant words through a translator from Bashar al-Assad. Now, increasingly, it seems that President Assad has some good reason to boast. Syria's allies are standing by him while Syrian opposition and the international community remain unable to organize a strong, unified response. Michael Weiss is columnist for the online news site Now Lebanon and a fellow at the Institute of Modern Russia. He's been following events in Syria closely, joins us from Washington, D.C. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. But one of the main issues that we're touching on here is a fractured and divided Syrian opposition rebel groups. We've talked before about how some elements of the rebels are associated with our enemies, like al-Qaeda. Those that are friendly are fractured, fighting over petty squabbles like seats on a council. This has to be a major advantage to Assad.
Of course. And it's been one of his key strategies from the beginning, kind of divide and rule. Sowing paranoia, sowing confusion amongst the opposition. I mean, one of the things you have to understand about Syria, this is a country for 40 years that's been kept under the sort of strictures of a very totalitarian police state. And the culture is such that it's incredibly difficult. I mean, in the West, it's easy to be kind of flip and judgmental and say, well, these guys can't get their act together. And I mean, it is true. And I've dealt with the Syrian opposition for 2 years. I mean, you do have the egomaniacs. You do have people who are in it for the wrong reasons. But apart from that, the culture of mutual suspicion and mistrust that is pervasive in the society as a direct result of what this regime has been doing is something that's going to take generations to remove. So the regime does have this advantage, which is that the people that it has sort of created are finding it increasingly difficult to unite and topple the regime.
And there's a debate on in this country, of course, about whether to arm elements of the Syrian opposition. If the answer is yes, whom to arm and how to monitor them to make sure that the weapons aren't going to people who we don't want to arm. Meanwhile, speaking of weapons, Michael Weiss, Assad hinted pretty strongly in that interview that he has new Russian missile systems. There seems to be some question about whether they've been delivered, whether they're operational. What do we know? Does he have them? And what difference does it make?
I don't think he does, no. The Israelis have been monitoring the S-300s. I mean, these are the sophisticated anti-aircraft missiles that the United States and Western allies spent a lot of diplomatic energy convincing Russia not to sell to Iran a few years ago, if you'll recall. Had he received even the preliminary delivery system or preliminary delivery of any kind of components of the S-300 systems, I think the Israelis would have probably taken care of that by now.
Yeah.
In addition to which, I've just seen on my phone before coming in the studio, two Russian newspapers, Izvestia and Kommersant, have both kind of thrown cold water on the idea that these systems have been delivered and are saying that it actually could be beyond the next year before they arrive. So I think he's doing this as bluster. He's doing this as a kind of rhetorical deterrent, much like the Russians are committing to this sale and possibly even more. There was a piece in the Washington Post suggesting that the Syrian army had requested from Rosaboron Export, which is the Russian arms supplier, a whole shopping list of goodies, from AK-47s to RPGs to millions of rounds of ammunition. So I think what you're seeing here is a concerted effort by Damascus, by Moscow, and indeed by Tehran to not only go all in materially, but to go all in rhetorically. I mean, coming back to your original question, if the opposition is so powerless, and if the opposition's backers, namely the United States, Gulf Arab states, EU countries, can't seem to develop a coherent strategy and can't seem to fully put their confidence behind the opposition, then if you're the regime, the best thing that you can do is have your two main patrons and indeed your sort of hardcore military allies on the ground form a united front. And, you know, the Russian position has never, ever changed. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the last 2 years suggesting, well, Putin is going wobbly on Assad. It's just not true. And Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, has actually, I mean, one of the things that the foreign ministry does quite nicely, if we were only to pay attention to it, is they never lie about what they're intending to do. They've said, Syria is a sovereign state, we will not allow another intervention, and all of these arms contracts were signed 2010, and we intend to fulfill them.
And meanwhile,
and indeed, that's what they're doing.
And meanwhile, Michael Weiss, our front is not united, and I want to ask you about that. I should say that we have some AP reports this morning that, in addition to the 80,000 Syrians that have been killed in that war, an American, apparently, Lynn Mansfield from Flint, Michigan, was also killed in fighting there. She's somebody who moved to Syria with her husband many years ago. But right before we let you go, Michael Weiss, President Obama has said that U.S. policy is that Assad must go. That's looking increasingly difficult for him to fulfill.
And not only that, but the conference to which he agreed with Moscow makes really no discussion or precondition for Assad's departure. This is one of the reasons the opposition is so reluctant to partake in this conference. So it is true, the U.S. has sort of backed down from its original position on this conflict, whereas the United States' antagonists have only sort of doubled down in their position.
And that makes it increasingly more complicated as Bashar al-Assad boasts about his confidence and his solidarity in Syria. It seems like the rebels are as divided as ever. Michael Weiss, columnist for the online news site Now Lebanon and fellow at the Institute of Modern Russia. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.